On today's Question of Faith, how can I have conversations with people I disagree with? Hey everybody, this is Question of Faith. We are coming to you on location at the Becoming Fire conference. You can sort of hear people talking in the back there. And I'm Mike Hayes. I'm the director of Young Adult Ministry here in the Diocese of Cleveland.
And I'm Father Damian Ference, the Vicar for Evangelization.
And I'm Joe Vicario, and I'm the founder, one of the founders of Catching Fire Young Adult Ministry.
Out in Parma.
That's right.
St. Columbkill, is that correct? We'll talk a little bit about that later. Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah. So, Joe, you guys have conversations every week at Catching Fire. Tell me a little bit about that. What do you guys do?
So we started about a little over 4 years ago now. What started was just we really just wanted to have a small discussion group about anything and everything under the sun, because we realize nowadays in our culture we can't have normal conversations with the rest of the world, whether it's about politics or faith or anything in society or anything in our culture. And we really wanted to have those meaningful discussions in a Catholic lens. And so what it's come to now, we have an array of 4 to 5 topics. You come every week, and we have our discussion leaders really do the research on the topic beforehand, and we have a free dialogue between all the young adults. Group size is probably about 10 to 20. And we talk about the discussion, talk about the topic, and we really get open and honest opinion, but we really bring the Catholic faith into it and to see really what the church says.
Yeah. And so do you ever have people disagree, and what happens when they disagree?
All the time. Yeah, and that's the best part of it, truthfully, because in our world, we don't like to disagree with things,
What? Yes, we do.
No. Yeah. Everyone likes a yes man, But it's really good when we can create an atmosphere where people feel comfortable to disagree about things. But I think it's also even better how we're able to respond to that. Because really, it's how we respond is then we're able to have the dialogue rather than an argument or a fight, So.
Yeah.
What's funny, so I'm trained in philosophy, and in philosophy, an argument is a good thing because it's giving a logical account of how you understand reality, and to engage in that is a very adult kind of thing to do. But in our culture, we don't support rational discourse all that often. We don't support adult conversation or argumentation. This is what I think, and if you don't agree with it, then I have no time for you. So it sounds like what you're doing is very rooted in the philosophical tradition, which is also rooted in the Catholic tradition, no?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really kind of what we're shooting for. And obviously, we would love to have as many religious and priests around to be able to kind of help guide us in whatever way possible, to be able to give us a better mindset and a better authoritative Catholic teaching on things. But at the end of the day, truthfully, we were really trying to open this dialogue to be able to have good discussion, for people to be open to hearing another opinion. Because at the end of the day, if you're able to walk out hearing another opinion and being open to that and be a more well-formed Catholic Christian, that's really what we're shooting for.
Especially in today's day and age where people can't hear each other at all. I mean, the Democrats and the Republicans can't even drink together anymore.
I mean, you put something on Twitter and then you're gone, So.
That's right. Yeah, faceless culture sometimes.
Exactly. There's no dialogue there. No dialogue at all. Yeah.
Can you give us an account of what in young adult or youth ministry is often called a glory story? Something that happened where you didn't think this was going to go well, and then all of a sudden, maybe because of a dialogue, because of a conversation, that people's minds were open or they came to a better understanding of reality?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a number of people that like to present topics to us. And there was one woman who wanted to talk about adoption. And it's a great topic. And that's something, especially in the Catholic social world, that's a big topic.
Yeah.
But one of the things that really get brought up is, especially gay marriage and being able to adopt kids and bringing that into a Catholic lens. And how do we have that discussion and dialogue? And truthfully, at the end of the day, a lot of people don't know, how we really handle that as Catholics. I was not the leader for that discussion, so I will not have, the full full answers for that. This week, but at the end of the day, those people that did have the topic question to begin with walked out telling me, I learned so much. I had no idea. And that's exactly what we want to hear. We want to hear people, even if they disagree at the end of the day, we really want to say, I understand your opinion. I respect that.
And that's what seems to be missing a lot of times, is that people are on two sides of the divide. I mean, you and I have had these kinds of conversations where we don't agree some days, And I'm I've heard your side of this, and I've come to a better understanding of what you think, and you've come to a better understanding of that. Even if we don't agree, we can meet somewhere and still be friends, number one, right?
Yeah.
You know?
And truthfully, I think Father Mike Schmidt said this best, I think, in one of his talks. Like, we have, like, a lot of people ask me whether I'm a liberal or I'm a conservative. But he says, I'm Catholic.
Yeah,
that's what
right.
I am.
That's what I say all the time,
you know,
too.
And that's truthfully what we have to come down to in a lot of these things, because that's really, that's who we are, like, in our deepest nature. We really are just followers of Christ. And we have to respect that in the other person. And if we let the politics and the opinions get in the way of that, then we're not doing it right, you know.
Father D and I talk about this all the time. I say there are some days I'm too liberal for the folks who consider themselves conservative, but then I'm
right.
too conservative
right.
for the people who consider themselves liberal, so I feel like I'm nowhere.
And that's honestly a good place to be sometimes,
yeah.
because you're challenging other people, you know. So
I find one of the biggest difficulties with our American secular materialistic culture is that we tend to think primarily politically. And
yeah, right.
not theologically. We haven't been trained to think theologically or philosophically. Yeah. And I think that's one of the great gifts that you could bring. And it sounds like that's what I still have to come out to.
We would love to have you.
Catching Fire. Yeah. And we're talking about a possible topic maybe for October. But I think that's really great. And it's a great blessing to show people the intellectual tradition of the church, how we think through things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, I don't know if you've found this, but I think oftentimes we have to rewind because we can't handle particular topics unless you have a foundation in metaphysics and anthropology and epistemology. Now, I don't have to use those exact words, but I have to make sure we have our foundation. So first principles before we can go to secondary issues and conversations.
Right. And no, I completely agree with you. And that's the thing. Like, when we were first started, it was specifically, let's just have a dialogue. But as you kind of go through this, you start to realize, like, there's a systematic way to kind of go about mm-hmm. doing this. And you learn as you go. And I didn't study philosophy, so I'm not nearly as well versed in the rhetoric. But, you know, been doing this for 4 years, you really start to learn a system. And you grow by, you know, investing yourself in the research and the philosophy behind it. And you learn, you know, how to really have that deeper dialogue.
Yeah. So here's the thing about Catholicism. You don't have to have a doctorate in philosophy or theology to know the faith. So tell us some of your resources that you go to and some of the books that you read or church documents that guide you in your training and formation of others.
Yeah, I mean, the first and foremost, I mean, catechism is a great resource to start. That's where we go for a lot of our, at least, more catechetical responses. On top of that, but at the end of the day, like, Thomas Aquinas is a great one. St. Augustine's Confessions are another great one. Our other leaders have other specific philosophers they love to go to and quote. And we even have a papal reading group that go through different papal documents that have been published by previous popes. And so those are just some to name off the top of my head, but truly, like, really empowering these young adult leaders and giving them the tools needed to be able to lead these discussions appropriately, because we don't want them to just throw them out with, you know, lions in a coliseum.
Sure.
You know, we want them to be well prepared going into it.
Even in our Secretariat for Parish Life downtown, we're currently reading Evangelization in the Modern World by Paul VI, Evangelii Nuntiandi, because continuing education, who's that? David Calavita. That's our background sound here. But yeah, I think as Catholics, you're constantly being formed, and you got to be reading, you got to be studying, got to be talking. All those things are important.
And that's really the biggest thing, is because you can never get into the perspective that you are done. Like, I'm done learning.
Yeah.
I'm done growing, because it's a continuous journey. And any saint will tell you that they're constantly trying to grow. And so really trying to form yourself by diving into literature or diving into more some great speakers that we have in our day to day to really learn from them and grow from them. Because a lot of the philosophers and theologians that we have, like, even in our day and age today, are just incredible. And we have to be able to utilize them and to look back and really humble yourself and say, I don't know, you know, and to look to people that really do. I think it's really, really, really a good thing that we have to look forward to.
Or at the very least say, well, this is what St. Augustine says about this, and let people just
right.
explore that
yeah.
for themselves.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And then say, how do you feel about that? You
right.
know, and let them talk a little
bit.
And
that's the best part, because when you say something from a third-person perspective, then it's like, okay, it's not personal. And so they can take the image off. You can take the image off of yourself, and they can say, okay, I'm a little more objective on their opinion at that point. And it gives them a lot better of a more of a confidence. And so they're sushing me now. And so, but
I don't think he's shushing you. I think he's shushing the crowd.
Yeah.
I know, I'm just...
But we'll talk very quietly because we might be distracting him. He was distracted by the drone earlier, apparently.
We sound like we're on NPR as we gather together.
That's right. I'm Terry Gross, and...
Yes, it's so lovely.
But basically, I think that what you said earlier is right, is that, you know, when you have some sort of objective... source that you can point to,
right?
Then no one's right or wrong
right,
here. It's
exactly.
Like, no, this is what the source says, yes. And we're discussing yes. how we feel about
the
source.
This is what the Summa says from St. Thomas Aquinas, you know, so. Right.
And yeah. You might not like that.
You're right, right.
But that's what it says.
Yeah. He's a doctor of the church, you know, and St. Thérèse Lisieux, like, you know, these people wrote things that are just incredible that we have to look back to. And they definitely, at the end of the day, it would be so terrible of us as Catholic Christians, as we're journeying along, to not refer back to them, because they hold something that we don't have today. And it would only be detrimental to us to not look. It's like reinventing the wheel. It's already been invented. Why not use it?
Yeah. Know your tradition. Know where you came from. Or else you'll be very lost. That's true.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The other day I joined a discussion group on Facebook, and I was in there for maybe 15 minutes, made one comment, and just got attacked.
Yeah.
And all I did was I put, this is what the church teaches, on the death penalty.
Yep.
And it was like, you folks are literally more Catholic than the magisterium of the Catholic Church is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I said to them.
And isn't that such a shame? It's such a shame because that's the dialogue we live in, dialogue, quote unquote. It's not real dialogue. You say one thing, then I answer back and I slap back at you and you get bashed for it.
Welcome to the Spiritual Smackdown.
That's
tonight
literally what it
on
is.
Fox.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm in a group chat that's Catholic Theology Smackdown. Like, that's what they call it. But, like, it's not dialogue, you know?
Yeah, right. So,
but that's really what we've got to be striving for at the end of the day. We're not having that deep. And like what you said, going back to the root of the deep meaning of what it means to have an argument, you know, but right now it's just, let me just smack back at you, you know.
And that, well, that argument today is thought of as a bad word when it's actually not. It's presenting your account of reality and then having a adult conversation with someone else about it. Yeah, that's where we need to be.
Tell that to my best friend, who always says, I'm not arguing with you. And I said, oh, we're having a good argument. He goes, I'm not arguing with you. And I'm like, okay.
No, we have to go back to that thing, because that's truly what we're missing. And you see it in just the political culture in itself, like with all Catholic faith aside, like you can go back 20 years and look at the president that won, and you look at the person that was running against him, and you can look and be very respectable towards the both of them. Now you look at, if you don't agree with the other side, like you want to throw them off a bridge.
Well, when Antonin Scalia was up for Supreme Court justice, he was voted in unanimously.
Yeah.
Which, and that was what, 40 years
40
ago, 30
years
less
ago,
than
at least.
30 less than 40 years ago. But that wouldn't happen today. It's wild.
And even look at Kennedy, you know. He's a Catholic, was a Democrat, but like a very, very well-respected man all around. And we, and from both sides. But you don't see that today.
And the interesting thing, since you brought up Antonin Scalia, you know, he used to go to the opera with Ruth Bader Ginsburg all the time. You know, talk about two people on the opposite ends of the political spectrum.
Yeah.
But they loved each other.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they disagreed within the court, but they were still civil with each other outside. And I think there's a picture of one of them on an elephant. They went on the safari, but they were good buddies.
Two of them together,
which
on
is
an
funny.
Elephant.
Yeah, and I think that's the end of the day. Like, a lot of people, like, the question goes around asking, would you ever be friends with, like, if you're a conservative and you say, would you ever be friends with a liberal? Or if you're a liberal and they ask you, would you ever be friends with a conservative? And when people say absolutely not, like, I'm sorry, but you're really sheltering yourself to be able to have, not only if you are objectively right, putting that all aside, but to be able to have that conversation with them, you're missing an opportunity. And it's such a shame. And even within our church, whether it's a charismatic or more traditional, like, we have to be able to have those conversations.
Yeah. And love people that you don't like. That's what Jesus asks us to do.
Yeah.
So,
do we have time for an Antonin Scalia story again? I have a second one, which is sort of on our thing. He was seated at a dinner with someone in President Obama then's cabinet, and he said, "Hey, let me ask you something." He said, "Well, you know," he said, "I don't have any delusions that you're going to put someone on the Supreme Court who thinks the way I do." He goes, "But if there's any way you could use Elena Kagan." He goes, "She was really, really great to me at Harvard." And he goes, "We had these great knock them out, drag them out kind of discussions, yeah. kind of arguments. And he goes, and she is really smart. She's really fair.
Yeah.
And if you could use her, he goes, so if we wanted to nominate her, you could get us the votes to get her in there? And
yeah.
he said, yes, I can. And he goes, we'll have her in tomorrow.
See, isn't that incredible?
Right.
Like, to be able to actually say, wow, let's help each other out here for the betterment of the country, you know, instead of let's just push my own perspective.
Right.
You know, I'm going to beat you down on the other side.
Right.
You
and, know? And that works on both sides of
yeah,
the aisle,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, like, that's what we're trying to do at the end of the day. We're trying to help each other out for the common good. Like, that's really what we're shooting for, the common good here.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I think that's one way that we could really, I'm being distracted by Father Eric Garris swinging something over his head.
It's a thurible, I think.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
ready
I think
for
that's what it was. Yeah. Anyway, one of the ways that we try to come into dialogue is when we meet other people in church. And so
yeah.
one of the churches that we want to talk about is yours, where you meet with folks at Catching Fire at St. Columbkill in
yeah.
Parma. Tell us a little bit about that parish.
Yeah, so St. Columbkill is in Parma. It's one of like five parishes in Parma. Parma's a really large suburb.
Seven parishes in Parma. I'm from there.
Thank you, Father Damien.
Parma's own, Father Damien Ferentz.
Yeah, Parma's own, yeah. No, he was down the street at St. Charles, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so, okay, so St. Columbkill, it's a pretty large parish for Parma in itself. They're really trying right now to be able to bring not only the charisms of the faith back, but at the same time, the tradition and beauty behind it as well. And so at the end of the day, like, you're going to have a good mix of older people, and we're really right now trying to come back, bring in the younger people as well. And I really feel like we're trying with Catching Fire to bring that back to the church. So it's a really good, I love it. And that's the thing about it is I think every person, no matter who you are, like, you have to get involved in your parish. You have to invest yourself into a community around you to be able to help make it a better place. Because just being a part of a group and you like to drink beer and have discussion, like, that's great. But we really want to invest ourselves to be able to help really the church grow. And just drinking beer on the side is great and wonderful. But we really want to invest ourselves into the church itself.
Otherwise, it's boring, right?
Right. Oh my gosh. You know, if you don't put yourself in a capacity to be able to really love not only yourself but love others around you in the way that that Jesus taught us, your life's boring, you know? You want to invest yourself into something else like that.
So, as you were speaking, I realized there are six churches in Parma and one in Parma Heights, which makes seven.
St. John Bosco.
Not to mention the Ruthenian and the Byzantine, our Byzantine brothers and sisters. So, and Joe, thank you for all you do with this Catching Fire, because it's moved to Grapevine, and then there's another ministry out in Avon Lake. Is that right?
Yeah, Corvadas is out there, and there's even one more in Parma Heights that broke off of us as well, 77 and counting. So, yeah.
It's cool. It's excellent work. So thank you for all you've done in our diocese. It's excellent.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you for having me. This is great.
And if people want to get involved in Catching Fire, what do they have to do?
Yeah, so you can literally just Google us, but our website is catchingfirestc.com. If you go there, there's a chat button. You can sign up on our email list there, but then there's also a link there to even get into our group chat on that as well. And then we'll go from there. And then we meet every Sunday at 7 p.m. at St. Columbkill. But then we have events throughout the week. But coming at 7 p.m. on Sunday, that's really the meat and potatoes of our discussion.
And we'll put all those links in the show notes this week. And our readings for next Sunday. Someone asked Jesus, Lord, will only a few people be saved? He answered them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. That's sort of like us with dialogue, right?
That's right.
We try to get through that narrow gate, but it's going to be hard.
Oh, my gosh.
And some people
don't realize that.
It.
Yeah, and that's a shame. That's a shame. That's a whole other discussion in itself.
Right. Exactly.
Anything that's important, I preach this at a wedding homily today, whether you're trying to be a good artist, a good athlete, a good musician, it's going to be hard, and it's going to take discipline, and you're going to, in order to say one big yes, you're going to have to say a lot of little no's. But that's true of the spiritual life, too.
Yep. Your yeses mean nothing if you never say no, right?
Yeah. So it's just being intentional about everything that you're doing at the end of the day, because your actions and your words mean something, and let your yes mean yes and your no mean no.
And so we'll let our yeses mean yes and our no mean no for this week, and we'll catch you all again next time here on Question of Faith.